Peter Allison is a very good friend of mine. We've been in the travel industry together, working in the African business world for many, many years. We've traveled together to Botswana, and he's got three great New York Times bestsellers, two on Africa and one on South America. So I would like to introduce you to Peter Allison from Natural Selection. Peter, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about Natural Selection, but before you do, give us a little bit of your background.
I grew up in Australia, but somehow never felt like I fit there. In pursuit of adventure, like young men often do, I came to Africa at the age of 19 and fluked my way into a job as a safari guide. And what was meant to be a short trip to Africa is now 26 years and
ongoing. Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So I've been I was a safari guide for many years. I ended up training safari guides, ran camps really badly for a while. It didn't last very long. Wandered off, wrote a few books, as you mentioned. And now I work for a new company founded with a group of friends called Natural Selection.
So you say that you guys were all in the business together, right?
Yeah, the founders are friends and mentors of mine. Even before this began, these were all people who were at my wedding. We're all really, really close. And we felt that our industry, not everywhere, but a lot of places, were making a few missteps, and they'd confused bling for luxury and also routine for safety. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the fun had been stripped out, and everybody had started competing over their camp rather than their safari. Mm. And we've tried to flip that back to what it's all really about. Nobody flies halfway around the world for a chandelier.
No.
And if you have a chandelier, that's great. But 10 years after a trip, nobody looks back and says, man, do you remember the thread count at that place?
Right.
What they talk about, I mean, what we talk about, the trip we went on was the crocodile swimming past right by the jetty in the camp we were staying at.
Or the wild dogs hunting.
Wild dogs. Yeah, it's the experiences that you had. Then you go and you build yourself a really nice property. Mm-hmm. But begin with that. So we're really experience-driven, really focused on the quality of guiding. All of us have backgrounds living and working in the bush, mainly as guides.
That's very exciting. I don't think there's any companies out there like this today.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of the people that you might think are a competition I'm an admirer of. But yeah, we're pretty proud of what we've achieved in a short space of time.
So I've been to Botswana a lot, but I've never been down into the salt pans. And to me, this seems really, really interesting for like life in the desert. And, one thing that I have to say, the three things that we always have in my agency are the three key ingredients of every trip are authentic, innovative, and memorable. And I always rely heavily upon those three words when I'm designing an itinerary. And I'm just really intrigued about what the desert has to offer, because we always have the Okavango Delta and all these great camps and game and so forth. So tell our listeners a little bit about this particular camp, Jack's Camp, and what's down there and why.
So Jack's Camp is a very famous property, and we've partnered with its owner, original builder, Ralph Bousfield, and it's been completely rebuilt. But again, coming back to the focus in this area, you have the biggest network of salt pans on the planet. And to my mind, a trip to the Okavango is not a trip to Botswana.
Yeah.
I mean, 99% of Botswana is actually Kalahari. Mm-hmm. So the Delta shows you one thing, and I love the Okavango. It's the place I feel most at home in the world. Mm-hmm. But the pans rounds out your safari. The word safari means to go on a journey. We've just narrowed it. So in our heads, you feel like it's sitting in a 4x4 being bounced around by somebody like me. Down there, we're going to get you on quad bikes, walking with bushmen. You can be sitting on the ground with a meerkat on your head. You don't have to have a meerkat on your head if you're worried about your hairdo.
Well, then I'm not coming.
No, you don't. If you're worried about your hairdo, you just stay standing up.
Yeah,
they won't climb a standing person. But these are the experiences where you actually feel like you're in Africa and not just passively observing it. Mm-hmm. There's so much down there. There's stone tool sites, and there is wildlife. I mean, we see elephants, we see lions. In certain months of the year, you have the second biggest zebra migration in the area from about November through to March.
See, most people think you just have to go to Tanzania or Kenya to see the migration.
Yeah, there's another one, and it's just so little known. There's just so many amazing experiences there. Most people, it's a hard sell to get them down there for 3 nights, because they see these big empty salt pans and you're sending me to nothing. Why would I want nothing?
Right.
And once they're there and they actually hear silence, they go, this is magical.
It is. So talk to me about these tools. I'm really intrigued about what you talk about.
So these stone tools were the salt pans formed. It was the base of a lake, a mega lake called Lake Mahadihadi.
And it one more time.
Mahadihadi.
Mahadihadi.
And our ancestors sat on the shores of this lake, chipping away at stones and making spear tips, arrowheads, and hand axes. And what's so important about this area is, as of about November, a paper was released, scientific paper, that shows that this is where Homo sapiens arose.
Wow.
So the other hominids and hominins came from East Africa and radiated out. Mm-hmm. But we're actually born in Botswana.
Wow.
And that's a really exciting discovery. And so you're coming home when you come to the Mahadihadi.
Wow. What's it like being with the sand people?
I've always found it really powerful. I'm a little nervous of cultural tourism. I've always been a wildlife guy, and I'm never wanted to be exploitative. And you've always got to hope that you're helping people at the same time as admiring their culture. And I think we've really got that balance with the Bushmen or sand people, where this is a community, and through the course of the year, we actually employ every single person from the community. They spend 3 months with us and then rotate out, and other members come through. All age groups, the family units are kept intact. But it's giving the older generation a reason to show off the skills which they felt were losing their value. And a younger generation who hadn't necessarily been interested in learning how to make fire with two sticks or dig up a tuba that you can squeeze to get water out, they're now seeing how much we admire the elders, and they want to be cool too. Mm. Every young person wants to be cool. So they're actually asking the elders to teach them, and it's a very gentle way of keeping these cultural aspects alive. Mm-hmm. And several of them have actually asked to stay on as permanent staff, and they've been trained as waiters, and there's a couple that are guides as well now.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I love that. Talk to me a little bit about the green season. You know, most of the desert, you know, is the desert, and most of us love the desert. It's beautiful in its own way. What's it like during the green season?
I love it. There's so much, I wouldn't say it's disingenuous, but the pricing makes you think, well, I've got to come when it's most expensive because that's when it's best. It's actually, that's just demand is highest.
I know, it's funny. I was just recently in October in Rwanda during the green season, and I had a blast. And I was also in Tanzania during the green season. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Green season, it's often cooler because you've got a bit of cloud cover. All the baby animals are born, so there's a bit of a cuteness overload. Mm-hmm. If you go the other way and like your carnage, baby animals aren't necessarily that bright, so the predators are quite fat and happy, grabbing baby impalas or springbok, whatever there's in the area. Wildflowers come out, all the migrant birds are in. It's an explosion of color. Mm. So it's a really beautiful time of year.
I love photography, so that's when I would like to visit that. Yeah, that sounds great. Okay, so I love your company, and I love the idea of natural selection, and I love it because we've always done things that are very active and authentic, and when we're in East Africa, we work with a lot of bush homes, and we do horseback riding. You were telling me about horseback riding in this part of Botswana as well?
Yeah, I mean, imagine riding a horse into the second biggest herd of zebra on the planet, 50 to 70,000 of them. That's a pretty special experience. We take all levels of riders, we take all ages of riders, because you might have a 5-year-old that's a lot more skilled than a 50-year-old on horseback. And I think that's a really, I'm not normally that excited by horseback riding. I prefer my car. But my wife is a semi-professional equestrian, and she said it's some of the best riding she's ever done.
Wow. Well, I'm from Montana and I love horses, so I think that's great. You know, our clients love luxury, though. I got to tell you, they love luxury. So I understand this camp is being rebuilt and going to open very soon. So tell us what the amenities will be like and what our clients can look forward to.
Rooms that are really future-proofing. There's been a bit of an arms race of room size in Botswana, and I think we just won. They're 130 square meters. Mm. I'm not sure what that is in feet, but it's
huge.
I think it's,
yeah, that's
it's
huge for a camp. Yeah.
It's bigger than any place I've ever lived, I'm pretty sure. Every room has a private pool. So you have obviously a bed area, bedroom type area. There's a lounge area. Of course, every one of our properties has ensuite bathrooms. You have hot water. It's all solar. And the amazing thing is out the front of camp, so this really retro feel, like you're on safari with Roosevelt or Hemingway.
Oh, wow.
And then out the back, there's $1 million worth of Tesla batteries and solar panels. So it's quite high tech behind the scenes. But we've got a museum in camp. It's one of only six museums in Botswana. Mm. We have a full-time museum curator. The camp itself is a point of fascination. And we're upping it on the food as well. Just joining our team is a man with the fantastic name of Franck Dangereux.
That sounds like a guy you would know.
I do actually know him. I know him personally. He rides around where I live in Cape Town on his horse, bareback, barefoot, bareheaded, and he rides his horse up to his restaurant, the Food Bar, which is one of the top restaurants in the country. Mm. He also founded La Colombe, which is rated as the best restaurant in Africa. Mm. He started that, and he's taking over the kitchen at Jack's, and I think that's really going to revolutionize it, bring in flavors from the Makharikhari pans of baobab and marula. Some of you might have had amarula liqueur, but the seed, the fruit's delicious, but the seed tastes like walnut, quite a buttery walnut, really delicious.
Mm. Wow. I can't believe it. Like, okay, so we were going to definitely add this to every itinerary we do in Botswana for every one of our clients from here forward. I definitely need to get down there and experience this. Let's go to Namibia. Let's talk about Namibia. You know, in our minds, we see these big red sand dunes and we always watch National Geographic and we see these big majestic scenes. Tell us a little bit about what natural selection does there. I mean, you guys are so interactive and so different than everybody else. I'd like to know more.
First, just to set the scene, Namibia is probably should be in a different continent because people, when they're coming to Africa, they say, I just want to see lots of animals all the time. If Namibia was anywhere else, everybody would want to go there. It's one of the prettiest deserts in the world, and I've been fortunate enough to see a lot of them. And it's, to me, it's almost more like Antarctica than it's like its neighbor, Botswana.
Wow.
Because if you think of Antarctica, you say, I really want to go there because it's beautiful, yet I couldn't survive in it. Probably nothing could survive, and then you see a single animal and it blows your mind.
Right. How does that live here?
Yeah.
Right.
How does anything make it here? And Namibia is like that. It's Kalahari Desert through to Namib Desert. And the Namib is the second driest place on the planet, but it's the oldest desert in the world. It's been a desert. The Sahara is a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Moab is a baby.
Wow.
There's Australian deserts are babies. The Namib has been a desert for millions of years. So there's a lot of plants and animals that you get there and nowhere else in the world.
Mm.
They've had time to evolve and make that the only place that they occur. So we have properties dotted around the country, ranging from down in the Sossusvlei area, we get the famous world's highest sand dunes. But again, we like to mix it up. We have horseback riding available, hot air ballooning, quad bikes, because again, we want people to feel it's not necessarily active, but doesn't have to be strenuous.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, to get on an ATV and ride around sounds fun.
Yeah, it's great fun. And it's also just, again, to take it away from just the passive observation and giving people the chance to actually feel like they've had their own African adventure.
Mm-hmm. And not just be stuck in a Jeep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A guide's job is not to show you things. A guide's, and you know, look at this environment. It's like they're showing off their girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, wow, you're so lucky to live here. A guide should actually be a matchmaker. He should be getting you to fall in love with the place.
Right. I agree with that 100%. I think that's true. Yeah.
So having just said all of that, one of the things we want you to do down in Sossusvlei is go unguided. We'll give you the opportunity to do some self-guided walks or mountain biking, or one of our guides can come with you. But maybe you'd actually like a bit of time with your loved one or loved ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, without a newly minted friend. So again, there's a lot of options of things to do there. From there, you can head up to Huaneb Valley Camp. And this to me is really epitomizes Namibia, where you have these dramatic landscapes. You have towering granite cliffs coming out of a sandy desert backdrop with little oases dotted around that attract desert elephants and importantly, desert giraffe. And the reason I focused on that is our camp there, Huaneb Valley Camp, we have a partner in that called Dr. Julian Fennessy, and he is the Jane Goodall of giraffes.
Wow.
There's nobody in the world that knows more. I think he's actually got two PhDs on giraffes.
Wow.
His recent work on giraffe DNA actually led to the creation of new national parks in Uganda and West Africa.
Really?
Yeah. He proved there's four species of giraffe, not seven subspecies.
Hmm.
And they are, the West African giraffe is immediately more endangered than the black rhino. And so they've created new parks. When you go out with our guides, there's an entire scientific element to the sightings that you have because it's an ongoing research project.
And it's all being documented right there.
Yep.
Wow.
You can come back to camp and you can see in the book every single place that giraffe's ever been. recorded. One of the nice, well, it's a bit sad, but with a giraffe, they're actually quite short-lived for a big animal. Mm-hmm. So you can track their whole life in the course of a research project.
Wow.
Even in a zoo, they're only into the late 20s.
Yeah, but I mean, most safaris, you're riding in a Jeep, you're looking at animals. Like, think about this. I mean, you get to be a participant, yeah. Which just sounds like a total blast.
Yeah. And that's before we even get to the amazing cultural aspect of the Himba and Herero people in particular. Mm-hmm. I think the Himbas are well known, but do yourself a favor and look up Hereros. Just do Google image search of Herero, which is H-E-R-E-R-O. These people were persecuted by the Germans at the turn of the 1900s and fled deeper into the desert, often chased into there, and got locked in a bit of a time warp, and the women still dress in Victorian dress. Really? Bright colors, these elaborate bustles coming out the rear and a headdress. It's exquisite. It's like watching flowers go for a walk through the desert when you see them.
That's amazing to hear a description like that.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. And you'll often see them side by side with the Himbas, who wear nothing but a leather apron around their waist, a conch shell between their breasts, and then a little leather headdress, and their skin's covered in red ochre. Mm-hmm. So it's an incredible contrast to these two very different ways of living in the desert.
And how are they with being, like, with photography and being
absolutely fine? We've got a wonderful relationship with the community. In fact, they are shareholders in our lodge. So they are literally invested in you enjoying yourself. Mm. And if anybody didn't want to be photographed, they could tell you. And because our guides, all of our staff are from that community, it's all handled very respectfully. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, that's Grumpy Tom. You know, don't take his photo, but, you know, my mum over here is fine with it.
Right.
Yeah. So it is as authentic as any cultural experience can be.
Wow. So if you've never been to Africa, would you put this on an itinerary for somebody? Or do you think this is more for someone who's been seasoned? Or
I think Namibia to me is typically for someone who's ticked off the big game. They've seen, you know, lions and elephants and scratched that itch. So you'd either start with somewhere like Botswana and then come across to Namibia. Mm. Or if there's someone that's fallen in love with Africa and they've investigated Kenya, Tanzania, or mm-hmm. maybe they did the soft entry through South Africa and they want something a bit more remote feeling, a bit more wild feeling.
Or intrepid.
Yeah. I mean, I think in all of our heads, we imagine Africa as boundless. Mm-hmm. And it can be a little dismaying in some reserves where you can always see a fence or a signpost. And you don't get that in Botswana or Namibia. You get the feeling of the Africa you've always imagined. Mm-hmm. And that's the magic to me.
Yeah. Endless. I love that. What are the accommodations like?
They are beyond comfortable. I'm always amused when somebody talks about camping. And it's just because there's a scrap of canvas somewhere in the wall. As I said, everything is en suite. We've got the good fortune of many years' experience. So while Natural Selection is a young company, on any given day, there's probably 100 years guiding experience in a room. So we know how to build for cold. We know how to build for heat. Amazingly, there's all sorts of new technologies in canvas, and we now have these double-layered insulated canvases. I mean, who knew that people are still pioneering canvas?
Wow. Changing subjects, anti-poaching, the black rhino. Let's kind of hit that.
Yeah. So in that Huanib Valley area that I was talking about and through to the Skeleton Coast, you have the last population of rhinos in the planet that live outside a protected area. They're not fenced into a national park. They're not on private land. They are free roaming as every rhino once was. And that's a very special opportunity to encounter them. And we offer that where you go out with the anti-poaching unit and you actually track them on foot.
Wow.
And that's, to me, a really, really special experience.
How close can you get to them?
Depends upon the wind and the terrain. If it's nice and lumpy, you can get a bit closer. If it's really open, you do keep your distance because black rhino in particular are notoriously grumpy. White rhino are friendlier.
I don't know the difference. I mean, I know white rhino means like because their mouth was wide.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just a different species.
Yeah, but
right. I know. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about like you have an overland trip, right? So you can go from there, from Huanib, you were telling me.
Yeah. So there's an amazing morning trip you can do where you leave Huanib and you head off to another one of our properties, the truly almost miraculous shipwreck lodge. And you leave what's called the Huanib Valley. And you cross these beautiful gravel plains And as you're driving through it, and again, it's this lunar landscape, there'll suddenly be an oasis with 100 springboks standing around it, or maybe a black rhino.
Oh, nice.
Then you drop into another riverbed, the Huaraseb riverbed. And in there, there's these towering sandstone cliffs and big clay deposits. There's a place called the Clay Castles, and it looks like the rock city of Petra.
Really?
But it's naturally formed.
Wow.
And there's quicksand. Again, you find springs, and there'll be oryx there, maybe desert lions if you're lucky. And the next thing is you realize you're at the coast. You've reached the ocean, and there is this place, Shipwreck Lodge, which I don't think we shout enough. The design is extraordinary. It does look like a shipwreck on the beach. The architect is a Namibian, and I love that it's a local design, and it was entirely her idea, and everybody said, you're crazy, and we said, you're crazy, we'll build it.
Well, that's what you do, you're crazy.
Yeah, we love the crazy.
What activities are there to do out there?
All of them. again, quad bikes. I think there's a fair bit of testosterone. Every camp needs to get quad bikes, we feel. You can walk yourself around there as well. There are occasional lions, but we know where they are. So if obviously there's lions around, we don't let you wander off on your own. But we do driving into the sand dunes. You get to explore this amazing desert landscape. We take you out to see some of the shipwrecks and some of the stories behind them. There's one in particular, Dunedin Star, one of the most amazing rescue stories you can ever hear. There's seal colonies there, and in amongst the seals are jackals and hyenas trying to grab the sick or the recently deceased. What else can you do? There's stuff. There's so much. I mean,
it just sounds beautiful.
It is. And it is the only property inside the entire national park. Nobody else has access. Mm. So to my mind, the biggest luxury we offer most of the time is space.
Mm.
And this gives
Well, that's
it
what
to,
I think of Namibia, period, yeah, is space.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I mean, we can even take you if you'd like and drop you somewhere up the coast. And if you think, when was the last time in your life there was nobody within 100 meters of you or a kilometer of you, we can really blow that out of the water.
I think some people really need that. Yeah. I'd like to finish today's conversation with your emphasis on conservation and all that you do. You know, one thing that I think our clients and our listeners have gotten used to is that we always pay it forward and we're always involved with any kind of a charitable cause. And, you know, tourism creates great jobs and sustainability is something that's very important to us. Tell us about your goals and some of the accomplishments that Natural Selection's done.
So we aim to, well, we give 1.5% of our turnover to conservation. So before we even look at profit, and it's great that we attracted investment despite that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's everything from researching this zebra migration in Botswana through to a really lovely project in the north of the Okavango Delta. There's a little village called Aretsa. It's quite close to one of our camps, Mapula.
Mm.
There's 1,000 people in it. And last year, 3 were killed by elephants.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Now, if you consider proportionate to population, that's more than smoking killed in America.
Wow.
So it's actually a public health crisis. Elephants.
Yeah.
And the problem for the people of Aretsa and their 176 children is they don't have a school. So these kids had to walk either 8 or 12 kilometers to neighboring villages to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Through an area that's got 40,000 elephants transiting every year and the highest concentration of lions in Botswana.
So we have guns in schools and they have elephants on the way to school.
They've got elephants and lions. Our problem was easier to solve than yours because, elephants don't have an NRA. So what we did was buy 2 minivans and then the morning and the afternoon now they do the school runs. They take the kids safely to and from school.
Right on.
And then in the middle of the day, they take the elderly to the clinics and they just alleviate that. After the elephants killed an old man last year, the village went and killed 3 elephants. And I don't blame them for that. I could understand that. But we're alleviating human-wildlife conflict.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting kids to school and keeping them there for the full day. And, that's conservation. That's how you actually do this. This is how you win long-term battles.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said, I'm really excited. When every time you stay at one of our properties, you're helping to pay for something like that. So if you stay at Mapula for 3 nights, you're probably getting a kid to school for a week.
Right. I love it. That's great. Well, I applaud all you do, and I'm really excited to be working with you, and I'm excited that we were able to get our clients communicated effectively, because it's so hard for me to repeat all of this. So having this podcast is really important. If you want to know more, I'm going to be organizing another trip to Africa, and Namibia is in the works, and we're going to be traveling with Peter's company, Natural Selection. So stay tuned, send me an email, and I look forward to our next time together. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you very much, Ralph.
I'd love to speak with you more about these wonderful itineraries and things that we do. So please reach out to Ralph at the office. You can call me at 1-877-301-1110. Again, toll free 1-877-301-1110. Please visit our website, www.iantoscatravel.com, spelled I-A-N-T-O-S-C-A. Also, you can send me an email to Ralph, R-A-L-P-H, at iantoscatravel.com. Thank you so much.